for years, okay, if you don't let it go. So, moral of the story, okay, don't be a monkey. And thank you, monkey bar people. I'll say that, yeah. But love growing cold in a congregation. It happens. It affects us as a body because it's affecting us as individuals. Okay, we all come in. We all have different baggage. We all have different ways that we've been offended. Some on smaller scales, some on bigger scales. And we are such a diverse group of people. We all are from different backgrounds, come from different places, different experiences, and God has called us to come together, to be one, okay, to the glory of His name, to work together, to advance the gospel. And so that's going to come with some conflict, isn't it? That's going to come with some disagreements, okay, especially when next weekend we're going to have probably 10 cooks in the kitchen, okay, all very accustomed to running their own kitchen. You know what I'm saying? Okay, or we're going to have 20 people in the choir, okay? So many different types of voices, so many internal metronomes and beats, and so we're going to have to work that together. Okay, if we've got 5 or 6 different foremen doing building projects, some who want to plan out every single detail, some who just want to sort of jump in and wing the whole thing, okay? Conflict. Okay, conflict will ensue, and it's not ungodly, it's not wrong for conflict to happen, for disagreement to happen, but it's the way that we handle that either gives God praise, okay, or grieves His heart. All right, and the Bible gives us clear instruction, Matthew 18:15, on how to resolve that conflict in a godly way. All right, but what we end up seeing happen so much in the church is that people sort of just get embarrassed or get offended too easy, okay? Whether it's somebody in the church that says something to them, somebody in the church leadership said something, a decision was made, and rather than really think about that, pray about that, see, sort of reflect on your heart and see how much of that's true, people are kind of just quick to up and leave. Just kind of go. And the Bible commands us. It commands us to rebuke one another, okay? And if you live within this covenant community, if you are a member of this church, you've invited me to speak into your life. You've invited your brothers and your sisters to speak into your life. Okay, not in a harsh, condescending way, but in a loving way, in a way that leads you to life and leads you to greater joy. But let's be honest. It's never fun to hear that, is it? Okay? It's never fun to hear constructive criticism. It's never fun to have anybody tell you you're being bad or you're being wrong, okay? And so, again, what we do is rather than really think about that, pray on that, see, ask the Lord, Lord, is there any truth in what they're telling me? Instead of doing that, we're quick to just sort of uproot and leave. I heard a pastor say one time, if you only follow your leader when you agree with them, then you're really only following yourself. So in the case of offense, again, this is something that maybe we're not accustomed to. We're not used to hearing some of that rebuke. We're not used to hearing correction. We're quick to be offended. But Psalm 92:13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. And I love how the Bible constantly paints the image of a tree and a plant, and how the deeper the roots, okay, the more it can handle. Okay, they say that the way that a tree's roots get deeper and get stronger, and how a tree grows and matures, is judged by the amount of conflict it goes through. It's judged by what kind of storm it went through, the winds that it experiences, the cold winters, the hot summers. Those are the things that strengthen the roots of a tree. And I heard someone say one time, and he was from Florida, that you can tell that the oranges are going to be sweeter by depending on the type of weather that was experienced the season before. You guys might can attest to that. But we are the same way. If we ever really want to experience all that God has for us and really want to put our roots and dig our roots down into the church and his house, then we're going to run into some conflict. We're going to run into some disagreement. All right? We're going to run into some confrontation. And it's... No sane person really enjoys conflict, Okay, the guy that loves conflict doesn't have any friends, and there's something wrong with him, to be honest with you, okay? It's never fun, but it's very necessary. All right, so if you're here and you're wanting to really put your roots down deep, okay, you really want to plug in, you really want to have all that God has had for you, I wish I could promise you there would be zero conflict. I wish I could promise you there would be no disagreements. I wish I could promise you that it would be big bubbles, no troubles, okay? But I'd be lying, okay? And if you're visiting with us today, we don't have an octagon or anything like that in the basement, which, again, would be a great men's ministry. Cage fighting. Yes, okay. Yeah, thank you, okay. Yes, cage fighting arena, if that's helpful. So I'm sure there's octagon-shaped things down there, but that's beside the point. But yeah, because listen, people are messy. People are busted. People are broken. We all come to Jesus limping. And we need His grace. We need the God kind of love. We need the agape love that only He gives us so that we can give that to each other. Okay, so how do we do this? How do we forgive and love the way that God has? How do we do that? It's really tough. I know a lot of you are still dealing with that, and it's said that a person who cannot forgive is a person who's forgotten what they've been forgiven of. So what we have to constantly do is we have to constantly remind ourselves what we've been forgiven of, that Jesus has forgiven us of much, that He has forgiven us of our sins, that He has forgiven us of our wrongdoing and our trespasses. And we have to remind ourselves of that every single day. And this was a revelation to me that in the New Testament, there's not just one gospel, but there's four gospels. There's four books that are considered the gospels because we needed to be reminded of that every single day. We need that repetition that we have been forgiven of much. Okay, and I know some of you have tried. I know that you're still trying. Okay, you're trying to forgive. You think that you have in your heart. It feels like you've forgiven, but then that person's name is mentioned and all the pain comes back. You see that person again and all the hurt comes back, and you don't know how to give that to the Lord. You don't know how to turn that over, and you're just miserable because you don't know how to lay that burden on Him as He has told us. But Jesus says in Matthew 5:44, He says to love your enemies and pray for those who mistreat you. Okay, doesn't that seem just impossible to do? Okay, I mean, I can pray for them. I can pray that the Lord drop a piano on them. I can pray that the Lord send flesh-eating ants to eat them alive. I can pray that the Lord smite them, okay, Old Testament style. But I don't think that's helpful for me, and I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. All right, but It doesn't really go with what our feelings tell us, does it? Okay? It moves opposite. And what you'll see the more you read your Bible is that the Bible speaks contrary to what you feel more often than not. Okay? It's almost as if the Bible knows the condition of the human heart. Okay? That the more you get into the Word and that the more you read the Bible, it begins to read you and it begins to expose things in you and it begins to shed light on some of the areas in your life. Another interesting thing that is mentioned that you don't really see here, but Jesus never really tells us to pray for our friends and family. We should, and we do, I hope, but He specifically says that we should pray for those who mistreat us, that we should pray for those who persecute us, who we consider our enemies. So it goes to show that we shouldn't just pray what we feel, but we should pray truth. Okay, not because God wants to punish us, but because He wants to set us free, because He wants us to have life, because He wants us to have joy. And some of you, you've tried to forgive others. Maybe you've got that cold heart. Maybe you hold the right to not forgive. You hold on to that right. The truth is that you gave up that right the day that you called on Jesus to be Lord. You gave up that right on that day because Jesus has forgiven you of your offenses. Okay? You gave up that right when Jesus forgave you the times that you turned your back on Him. You gave up that right the day that you had nothing but a cold heart and cold love towards him. That's the day that you gave up that right. And he has forgiven you. He has forgiven you. Oh, that he could just give us the grace to do the same. Doesn't make what that person did right. Okay, doesn't take away the wrong. It doesn't give them a pass. But I'm going to close out with a story. About 4.5 years ago, Stacy and I took our honeymoon and we rented a house close to the beach in Florida and had a great time. I put up the deposit and went in, paid about half, and my parents were gracious enough to bless us with the other half of that. Stayed on the beach for about a week, just had a couple little hiccups along the way, nothing major, until the last day and a half. The air conditioning unit went out in the main section of the house, and it was in the upper 90s all week. So we were having to move some of our stuff in a different part of the house, and I'm trying to get a hold of this guy because he's, you know, the landlord. I want to say, hey, this is going on. The air conditioning unit is just dripping wet. I mean, we'll do whatever if you want us to call somebody. Couldn't get a hold of him, and so we decided, okay, we can try to take care of this guy's house the best way we can. We can clean this thing up, treat it as if it were ours, and we would want someone else to treat it that way. And so anyways, we get back, and I sort of email the guy and say, hey, I feel like maybe we should be recompensated just a little bit for this experience, and he agrees to that, and so we're good. So we're expecting about $500 back. And a week would pass by, we don't hear from him, and I finally kind of email him and say, hey, what's the status on that? And he begins to just unload on me all the things that we should have done, all the things that we did wrong. And he attacks me personally, attacks my manhood. I mean, all these different things. And so you can imagine that I am furious. I'm fuming. This just begins to just eat away at me. I stay up late. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I'm just contemplating, do I pursue legal action? Is that enough an amount to do that? Stacy and I are leaving to live in Korea for a year in about a month, and so I wouldn't even be around for that. And so it just began to, it caused sin. Okay, it created sin in me. And I reached the point where I just couldn't do it anymore. I looked at Stacy and I said, we're going to have to eat this. We're just going to have to try to forgive this thing. And I remember going and talking to my dad about it, and I kind of felt a little embarrassed because, you know, they helped us out. They sort of blessed us by giving us this, and ultimately they're like, yeah, you know, it's your decision. Just because I couldn't live with it anymore. I couldn't let it do what it was doing to me. And so about 6 months would go by, and a lot would have changed for us because we were living overseas, and I get an email out of the blue that was from this guy, from this landlord. And he, it's such a frustrating deal because we see this guy as this guy who's got all these beach houses and likes to surf in his spare time, and we're seminary graduates and we're trying to do the Lord's work here, for crying out loud. Don't have a home, don't have a job until we live overseas. And so we get this email back, and it's sort of a blanket email to his clients, basically apologizing for his behavior, apologizing for what's going on, and he lets us know that he's filed for bankruptcy, his assets are being liquidated, and gives us attorney information. And I show the email to Stacy. You would think in that moment that I would be like, yeah, how do you like that? How does that medicine taste, JR? How do you like me now? You know, I mean, just some of those feelings is what you think would happen. But I remember showing the email to Stacy, and I looked at her and I said, I didn't want this. I knew it was in that moment that I'd forgiven him. Never in 100 years would I have thought that my response would have been compassion. But I would have thought it would have been elated joy. I would have thought it would have been rubbing his nose in it and hitting send, you know? I mean, but when you hand those things over to the Lord, you begin to pray and ask God to bless this person and forgive this person, he can begin to really do some amazing things. Not only can he heal you, he can grow you, he can mature you. And I've never told this story before in an open setting. I've told individuals and such, but it's crazy to think that God had this day in mind. that maybe this story would help you forgive. God had this day in mind when that happened 4.5 years ago. Okay? Sure didn't feel like it then. I'll be honest, but your big one, your big offense, your big hurt, the unforgiveness that you're holding, maybe it's bigger than that. Maybe it's smaller than that. But here's what I know. I know that I don't have to understand. I don't have to understand, because what I do understand is that the debt Christ paid for me is more than $500. The debt that Christ paid for me is more than any amount I could ever hold against anyone else. And so whenever you continually preach the gospel to yourself and you realize that, and you realize this is truth, this is what's real, this is what's raw, this is what happened to him to forgive me, you don't hold on to that stuff anymore. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And when you begin to hand those things to the Lord, he begins to heal you, he begins to do a work in you, and you will have that peace that passes all understanding, that the people around you look at you and say, man, does that not bother you anymore? It is a peace that doesn't make sense to you, and it's a peace that doesn't make sense to them. Okay, but it is Christ doing something new in you, birthing something new in you, and putting his grace, his mercy, and his blessings, and his love over your life, allowing you to forgive. So I know that I've gone long, but don't be offended, okay? Let's pray. Lord, God, we all have our wounds. We all have experienced hurt, pain, suffering. Lord, we so often blame the people around us, but yet we're the one who carries around the burden. We're the one who carries around that offense, and some of us for the rest of our lives. And so, Lord, some of us that offense is a $500 offense. Some of us it's a $1 million offense. But, Lord, it does not even compare to the $100 trillion offense that you've paid for us. And so, Lord, there are souls in this room right now that they are carrying unforgiveness with them. It has grown into hatred. It has made their hearts hard. It has made the love that they have cold. It's created bitterness, resentfulness, and God, they want to be free of it. They don't want it anymore. They don't want to carry that around anymore. It is exhausting to carry. And so if that's you and you're in here and unforgiveness has this grip on you, with every head bowed, if that's you and you want to lay that burden and give that burden to Jesus, I want you to just lift your hand. Okay, good. Yeah. Hands coming up. Got hands up. Hands up. Yes. Awesome. All right. And with every head bowed still, those that have raised their hands, I want to invite you to stand up. Please stand up. Okay. Nothing embarrassing about wanting to forgive. Okay. Everything right, everything good and godly to want to forgive. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for forgiving my sin, for setting me free, forgiving my faults, forgiving my failures. This burden I carry, I lay it at your feet. I forgive, and I want you to whisper under your breath that person's name. I forgive them of what they said. I forgive them of what they did, and I give it to you. Help me to pursue forgiveness. I pray you do a work in my heart and bless this person. Amen. All right, I want to invite everybody else to stand with them.